and welcome. It's our number 3. You found the podcast. Click that like button. Click that 5-star button right over there. Give us a nice review. That would help us out. So here in our number 3, Mutiny on the Mariners Bounty. I love a good dramatic story where people are uncomfortable. There's a lot of uncomfortable people in Seattle right now. We discussed the puzzling trade the Mariners made, a giveaway trade, sending away their most reliable relief pitcher to a division rival in the middle of a playoff race. Say what? Do the players have a right to be upset with the front office in Seattle? I think that's a rhetorical question. We will slay the Mariner front office right now in our number 3. Mutiny on the Baseball Bounty. Welcome in the beginning of another hour. It's the Ben Maller Show. We're wrapped up together in the air everywhere as we live in your pocket, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from the sweatshop, slaving away over a hot microphone here at the Fox Sports Radio studios. And so hope all is well. It's a fun week if you're a baseball nerd. I like baseball. I admit it. One of the few people that does. Many people try to avoid baseball at all costs. But I like baseball, and I love trades. So this is a fun week. It's a fun week. Friday is the trade deadline. And our lead this hour comes from baseball. Baseball's been very good to me. The trade deadline, normally on the 31st of July. But the executives of baseball don't want to be bothered to have to work on the weekend. So, hey, they're not players. Players have to play on the weekends. The executives don't. And so the trade deadline bumped up to July 30th, so it's on Friday. And we have things percolating, bouncing around the echo chamber, the flea market, the big news of the night coming out of Seattle. Now, typically, if you do a Mariner monologue, it better be like 1997, 98, 99, somewhere in that area, or even earlier when the Mariners were relevant, or the early 2000s. They haven't been any good for 20 years, back when Ichiro was still playing there, the early days of Ichiro. But the big news comes out of Seattle, and normally I would try to avoid this, but I've already done a gymnastics monologue, so when you do a gymnastics monologue, you're empowered. You have freedom to talk about the Seattle Mariners. So the Mariners are fresh off their most impressive win. They were fresh off. They lost the game on Tuesday night. But Monday night, they had this amazing win. They were down 6-0 at the end of the first inning, down 7-0. They came all the way back and won one of the most impressive wins for that sorry-ass franchise in years. And so the assumption was they were going to continue to make moves to try to improve the team, and they were one game out in the wild card race. And instead, the very next day, the front office decided to say, you know what, we're going to pull a Simone Biles. We're going to give up on this. We're done. See you later. They decided to be sellers, at least in the trade that they made. They sent Kendall Graveman. Now, keep in mind, Kendall Graveman's an interesting cat because he hadn't been that good until this year. But he was pitching out of his mind this year in the Seattle bullpen. And they sent some other pitcher who they were getting rid of to the cheating Astros for reliever Joe Smith, whose cousin's John Doe, and a backup infielder named Abraham Toro, like a bull. Can you say lopsided? Yeah, I knew you could. So have you heard the reaction, though? The reaction's where the story is. Right, don't bury the lead, my man. Right, maybe not. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because of a clubhouse revolt. Turmoil. The Seattle Mariners, professional baseball club, broken and smashed apart their clubhouse. Players enraged. Found out about the deal. And they got together there and pulled out the old baseball bats and went wham, bam. And they didn't say, thank you, ma'am. Speaking anonymously, one player said that the team felt betrayed by the move. The player added, are you effing kidding me? And then it gets even better. But wait, there's more. The quote continues, it never changes. They, meaning the Mariner front office, don't care about winning. How do you trade him and say you care about winning and you trade him to Houston? It never changes. No lies detected. Another quote from an anonymous Mariner player that he, meaning the general manager, Jerry Dipoto, he hasn't come down here. He sits up in his suite playing fantasy baseball and rips apart our team without telling us anything. Oh, it's great. Outstanding. Outstanding. So, again, the Mariners, at the time this went down, they were one game out of the wild card race in a dogfight, something they had not been in for a playoff spot, any legitimate competition at this point in some time. And they've gotten worse. They haven't gotten better. They have gotten worse. So let us discuss the question. Are you going to go thumbs up or thumbs down on the Mariner front office being guilty of betrayal against the players and also the long-suffering, hearty bunch of Mariner fans? So I'm going two thumbs up on this. I'm going two thumbs up. I've got the manila envelope, the iPhone, and the metal chain. And we will connect all of these things together. Now, first of all, in a parallel universe, imagine, if you will, I own the Mariners. I have won the lottery. I am no longer the overnight gas bag, the guy with the hot takes that lights his equipment on fire. I'm no longer that guy. And I'm the owner of the Mariners. Here's what I do. I calmly call a meeting, send a text out to Jerry Dipoto. I said, listen, I want you to come to my office here. I want you to sit against my giant mahogany desk. And I want you to explain the logic behind the trade. Now, keep in mind, while this is going on, I would have a neutral face. I would be as calm and still as pond water. And I would listen intently. And once Jerry Dipoto was done, I would look him in the eye, square in the eye. And I would hand him an envelope. It would be a manila. It would be a manila envelope. And in that manila envelope would be a pink slip. And I would say, Jerry, I know you'll get another job somewhere because that's how this works, but you are excommunicated from the Seattle Mariners. You are terminated. You are poloxed. You're out of here. Don't let the door hit your fat ass on the way out. Because I would want to win. Now, maybe the owner doesn't want to win. It's possible that Jerry Dipoto is just following the owner's message, and the owner's like, we can't make the playoffs. We'd rather not make the playoffs. Now, I don't know who would do that, but if winning is the goal, and I have no skin in the game. I got no skin in the game. This trade is baseball malpractice. You don't go 20 years without sniffing the postseason by accident. It's moves like this that are the very backbone of buffoonery. Now, that's good to hear that the Mariner locker room's upset and they're a bunch of rambunctious players there and they're angry. There's nothing they can do about it, but they're annoyed. Now, secondly, when the rubber meets the road, on this particular trade, it is, from a baseball standpoint, a disaster on every level. It shows the fan, it shows the player, that you are grabbing the iPhone and you are phoning it in if you're the front office of the Seattle Mariners. This is shoddy work. From Walla Walla to Timbuktu, it is baseball malfeasance is what it is. As long as the Mariners have a chance, you got to go for it. All right, this is a team that has been overachieving, sneaking up, right? No one was paying attention. We were all taking naps, and the next thing you know, the Mariners are a game back in the wild card race. And then you pull that secret lever, and you grab it, you pull it down, right? You pull the lever down, and a booby trap door opens up, and you find yourself in a pit of vipers. And that's what happened here. Now, again, Kendall Graveman, historically not that good a pitcher, right? But he's been really good this year, and you gave him away for a bag of manure. Graveman, mostly mediocre, but lights out this season. ERA of under one, an earned run average of under one, and you sent him to the cheaters. The league was hitting .136 against this guy. Domination situation over 30 games, and you get rid of him. Now, in exchange, here's the haul the Mariners got. They got a 37-year-old baseball gypsy named Joe Smith, who had great moments a million years ago. He's been living out of a suitcase during his baseball sojourn with the Indians. Oh, excuse me, the Guardians, the Angels, the Astros, more recently, the Mets, Cubs, and Blue Jays. The Mariners will be his seventh big league team, and he brings with him in his suitcase an earned run average of 7.5 in 28 games for the Cheaters in Houston, and the league hitting .376 against him. Batting practice. You would have been better off if you had just signed Robbie the Mariner fan to a contract, the new Bartolo Colon, and put him on the mound. You would have had about as good a chance. And this other guy, this incognito Abraham Toro, a backup infielder who is hitting .211 this season for the cheating Astros as a backup, as a bit player, and over parts of three seasons as a up-and-down player, his career batting average is .193. What a brilliant trade. You traded for a guy that can't hit as an infielder and a guy that's 37 years old and can't get anybody out. Hell of a trade. Good baseball move by the Mariners. Now, final thought. So the teams that have success, they have this in common. They're on the same page, right? They sing on the same page, reading the same words, right? Reading the same words. And that's not going on with the Mariners here. The metal chain is only as strong as the weakest link, and the weakest link is Jerry DePoto. This guy is wearing the clown nose and the floppy shoes, and DePoto, he didn't do his job. If you can't do your job, then get another one. That's what happens in real life. There is a code of conduct among baseball people that if the players are in contention at the deadline, they've done their job. They played themselves to have a chance at the postseason. It is beholden of the front office to bring in reinforcements. It's always been the way that it's worked in that business. You're supposed to fortify the roster, and if you don't, you are vilified. In fact, I remember when I was covering baseball in the 90s, the Chicago White Sox one year were in contention, and they made a white flag trade at the deadline. And to this day, that is an example. Jerry Reinsdorf's White Sox is an example that is brought up of what not to do with the deadline. Team in contention. And that was almost 25 years ago that that happened. And people still bring that up because it was so shocking. And now, this does not rise to that level, but it's still an incompetent trade by the Mariners. You're supposed to improve, not get worse. You invigorate the team. You energize the fan base for the stretch run. And instead, Jerry DePoto just gave a firm kick to the shins of the players and spat a loogie in the face of the Mariner fan. And then, to add insult to injury, he helped out the cheating Astros. That is treason. That is baseball treason. We need to hold a war tribunal for this guy. Right? You should be ashamed, insulted, harassed, all of that. And after the uprising, Seattle, they made another trade. They picked up some starting pitcher from the Pirates. We always want good pitching. You go to the Pirates because they have great pitching. Of course, they had great pitching like in the early 90s, right? You know, when they had Bonds, late 80s or whatever, they had some good teams there. And, of course, back in the 70s. But since then, not so much. Some guy named Tyler Anderson. I do not believe that's going to make up for the other trade. Bad job by them. Bad job by them. It is the Ben Maller Show. We'll talk about that. Also, the big story here we discussed. We actually did a Maller monologue about gymnastics. It's not really about gymnastics. It's about Simone Biles and the fact that she quit. And nobody wants to call it like it is. Right? Everyone's trying to make the excuses and rationalize and defend. And it's really annoying. It's really annoying. And you know, I'm more upset with the media than anything, but I had to unload because we have to call it like it is here. So if you want to talk about that, I see some people on hold that still want to yap about that. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. We'll take some more calls. Also later this hour, we have Too Much or Not Enough, and we'll have Cooking with Roberto, which is very exciting. What are we making today, Roberto? Do we know what we're making today?
Milanesa de res or fried steak, baby.
Fried steak. Okay. Yeah, all right. Is it country fried steak? Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that's the American country version. It's the Mexican version.
It's Mexican. What Mexican fried steak. Well, they put salsa on it. What's the difference? A little spicier?
No salsa.
No sauce.
No sauce.
All right, well, we'll find out when Cooking with Roberto comes around. We'll find out what the difference is between the American and the Mexican version of fried country fried steak. So that's very exciting. All right, it's the Ben Maller Show. One of the top players on the trade market in baseball has done the unthinkable. does not want to play in the Big Apple, does not want anything to do with New York City. Who is that player? I'll give you the name. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Listen up, Maller Militia. The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our technical producer. He plays all the music and most of the funny sound bites of the Ben Maller Show. He also keeps things running smoothly as best he can. We've got Cooking with Roberto coming up in moments. You can follow our man Roberto Flores at Raider_Rob24.
Middle fingers are okay. I did that many times, threw that many times. The Barry Bonds.
And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Well, he deserved it. You know how many hours I wasted waiting for Barry Bonds to give a soundbite and then having him half the time he never came back. And then when he came back to his locker, he was an absolute a-hole and was a nightmare. So I'm glad you
I don't know what cheating is.
I'm glad you gave him the middle finger.
All the time.
Yeah, good job by you. He deserved it. He did. He earned it. All right. That's Ben Maller's show. We began the hour with a Mariner monologue. Wow. A Seattle Mariner monologue. Can't do too many of those. There's a limit on how many of those we're allowed. And I think we've reached our quota at this particular point. Let's see. Can't read that on the air. Page down here. Just Josh's nice Mariner Robbie monologue there. I knew it would live up to the expectation. Yeah. Well, you had no expectation. Calvin in Davenport says you could say that the Mariners keep sinking their own battleship. But that is the answer there. All right, let's go to the phones. The people would like to speak, and we will not hold the people back. We'll not do that. Let's go to Raphael, who is in Vermont, and Raphael is next on the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Hello, Raphael.
Hey, Ben, brother, I've been listening to you for so long. It's amazing that today, you know, you brought that thing back. You know, I've been listening to you since I was in the Marine Corps, and I can remember when you had that little chat, that little Mexican girl with you. I don't remember her name back in the day. You guys had a good dynamic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's what she was. She went by the nickname, the Little Mexican Girl. That was her nickname, unless it wasn't. But yeah,
Ben. One thing
was that Miranda Marino.
Yes, I believe that would be Miranda Marino.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's all grown up now. She's a mom. Did you know that? I'm getting old. She's got a couple of kids. It's wild. Unbelievable. How did that happen?
Ben, yes? I don't think people understand how bad that situation is with Simone Biles. Week before the competition started, the Olympic Committee, they came out a note just to protect her, where they warned her, we're not going to take care of those moves you plan on doing. They told her, we deem those moves dangerous, and we're not going to give them any consideration. And they informed her, we told the people who are going to evaluate that thing not to give them those moves any consideration, and the evaluation process, the deduction process, will remain the same.
I will tell you that Simone Biles, if you believe what she says, some of the comments that I've seen here, she says that it was Naomi Osaka who inspired her to quit in the Olympics.
The thing is, the advice, not only her, they advise everybody in the world, all the gymnasts, they said, those moves going to hurt little girls. So not to implement. So she came. The very thing they advised her not to do, her first move, she missed the whole landing spot. She had a foot on the ground. So that's what they were trying to prevent her from happening. And then the second day, halfway through that crazy move, she's supposed to do three turns. After one and a half, she got scared in the air, and she cut that movement short, and she landed. So she knew she wasn't going anywhere.
Raphael, I mean, you should be working at NBC breaking down gymnastics, Raphael.
Yeah, but you're not telling the truth.
Unbelievable.
They're not telling the truth. Everything they told her not to do, they were trying to prevent that fiasco. She didn't listen. And next you know, she self-destroyed herself, and now she used that cop-out of metal heft. This is crazy.
All right, well, amazing you would use the word crazy after talking about mental health. But Rafael, listen, I love your passion. That's the most passionate gymnastic call I've ever taken. And I'm great. As you know, you've been listening to me a long time. You know I love the passion. So I thank you for that. Yeah. That's the new thing. We talked about this. I did a rant about the Naomi Osaka bowing out of the French Open, and we did a rant about that. And this is the in thing now. This is the go-to excuse. You don't play well, it's not that you got beat or you weren't good enough. It's mental health. Mental health. That's the go-to excuse, and it's the perfect trump card because people never question it and never say, well, wait a minute, and he just didn't perform that well, and that's not mental health. There are legitimate people that have mental health issues. But because you don't perform well in a sporting event and you can't handle the stress, that's like the whole point of this. There's a lot of people watching. There's a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of attention and fame that come with it. Those that can handle that, and if you can't, you shouldn't be celebrated. You can do something else. You know, go do something else with your time. Anyway, we'll keep it going. Let's say hello to Eric in SoCal, in the OC. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, Ben. First of all, mental health or stress is an excuse for quitting, because part of being a champion is being mentally strong. And so we're all standing around, you know, thinking, like, what's going on here, right? We're dumbfounded. Well, I kind of have a theory. I think the academia, the media, and the news, and someone else, they're all in it to form the society and change culture. And so given that, I think somebody went to Simone Biles, approached her, and Henner basically said, hey, take the fall, and we'll give you a lifetime of riches. I think this is
So you are going full, now just for the record, so yeah. Eric and OC is going full Illuminati, that
exactly.
Somebody pulled Simone Biles aside and said, listen, you've already won all these medals, you've already got all these accolades, I will give you the riches of Solomon. Just quit, right in the middle. Just quit.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a
hot take right there.
They're promoting mental weakness. They're promoting mental weakness.
Yeah, well, I love a good conspiracy, but I don't think that's going to work. I think most people with common sense, though, Eric, would say, you have a job. I got a job. I can't quit. I got another hour and a half or whatever in this show. I can't just leave unless the equipment breaks. I can't leave.
So
I'm here.
How else do you explain it?
Well, I think it's just generations of kids that were raised that it's, you know, it's acceptable.
But even you said it. She's already done it. She has already accomplished
it
before.
I know. It's a bizarre thing. And many people have brought up the other gymnast that, you know, had her leg all mangled and she finished. And
yeah.
I mean, these are the people we've all, you know, Eric, you're, I don't know how old you are, but this is who we celebrate, right? The athletes that overcome
right. The
adversity and can handle it and don't give up. And people bring up the Willis Reed game. That's a million years ago. Willis Reed played like the first quarter of that game for the Knicks, and people still bring it up because his leg was broken or whatever. And Walt Frazier was the reason the Knicks won that day, but it doesn't matter. People celebrate the fact that Willis Reed played, and he was all mangled up, and he could have easily tapped out and said, no, I'm not going to play. But he did, and he played well enough in the first quarter, and then Walt Frazier picked him up. All right, we'll leave it there, Eric, but thank you. All right, it is the Ben Maller Show. The Ben Maller Show, and the player that wants no part of the Big Apple, Max Scherzer. Mad Max does not want to be part of the New York Mets. Now, it makes sense because the Nationals supposedly were not going to trade with the Mets anyway. Although I think that's a bullcrap story, because I'll tell you right now. Like, I like the Dodgers, but if the Dodgers could make a great trade with the Giants, if they were out of contention and they could make a trade to help them out and they could get great players, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I remember the Patriots sent, was it Bledsoe, Drew Bledsoe. They traded him to the Buffalo Bills in the division. And that worked out pretty well for them. Worked out pretty well. But anyway, Max Scherzer supposedly doesn't want to play in New York. He wants to play in California. He's California dreaming.
Ooh!
Roberto's excited.
That's cool.
Yeah. Was that Coop? Is it Coop?
Hey, there's multiple teams in California.
The team is
a contender, though, Coop. Sorry.
Yeah, not a pretender. Dodgers, Gigantes,
Padres.
And Padres. Yeah, that's it.
So, well, if the Dodgers give up Kyber Ruiz, they're not going to get Max Scherzer. So
he knows that with him, the Angels will be a contender.
That's all it takes. Angels, they don't need Angels in the outfield. They need Angels on the mound is what they need, right? They can remake the movie. It's a bad movie now. They've got enough outfielders. They need help in the pitching department there. Will Scherzer's got to be traded, right?
He's going to get traded. Suck.
I was right about the Nationals. I just want to point that out. I said
they have a lot of injuries. So.
Oh, stop.
Yeah.
Stop. I was right.
A lot of injuries.
I was correct.
Saw Strasburg's injured again.
Yeah, he's out for the season.
They're resting him for next season, Eddie. That's what they're doing. They're resting him.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you see that there is a Pro Bowl defensive player who wants out of Miami?
Uh-oh. Nobody wants to leave
Howard.
Xavier Howard.
Yeah.
You want to go to Miami. You don't ask for a trade. You're living in paradise other than the vagrant that lives there.
He did report to training camp doing the Marshawn Lynch. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Yeah. He said, quote, I don't feel valued or respected by the Dolphins. Just like they can take a business-first approach, so can I.
No good.
Now, he got a five-year, $75 million deal 2 years ago and made him the highest-paid corner in the NFL. But now, you know, time goes on, guys get new deals, and he's only the sixth highest-paid player corner as far as per-year average. So he's not happy about that. He says he's outperformed his contract, and he wants a new deal. So demanding a trade.
Well, actually, NFL contracts are contracts because they get torn up all the time. But I think most would say if you're that upset with being passed over, maybe don't sign that long term a contract. How about that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Would that be a solution? Like me, Eddie. I go year to year, Eddie. Well, that's what I do.
His
here,
excuse
right?
on that, well, yeah, it's your choice. His excuse. That's what you demand. Boss, I only want a one-year deal, year to year. I want to earn my contract.
I can test free agency every year in radio, Eddie. I can test the free agent market every year and see if the fish are biting.
Yeah.
You know.
Xavier Howard did say that he didn't fully understand the contract that he was signing back in 2019.
Does he have an agent? Isn't the agent supposed to tell you what you're signing?
What's to understand? They want to make you the highest paid corner. Okay, where do I sign? You know what I mean? Come on.
Can I cash the checks? Can I cash the checks there? Of course, you could argue if he did not have the kind of production that he had last season that he would not be doing this, right? He'd be like, you know, hey, $76 million.
Oh, I'm sure if he was getting burned on every other play, he'd say, you know what, Dolphins, I deserve a pay cut.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll give you some money back.
No, they get rid of him. Well, he's got $27 million guaranteed or something like that. So, fully guaranteed. That's Eddie Garcia money is what that is. A lot of cash.
Gated Garcia.
A lot of cheese. That's right. Gated Garcia. You want all your nicknames, Eddie? You don't need your nicknames, right? You're not a nickname guy.
Yeah, it's up to you. I don't care. Whatever.
Oh, we have to go. I'm sorry, Eddie. We have to go. We have a game show. Coop's yelling at me. He says, get to the damn game show. All right, we'll get to the game show. Here we go. Game show.
It's another Ben Maller game.
We've endured too many of these.
Is it too much or not enough?
Enough already.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And who do we have? Let's say hello to Rico in Denver. I like this guy, Rico. He's a character. Hello, Rico in Denver.
How's it going, Ben?
A man who studied radio broadcasting, Rico, and his whole family, future rap stars, right?
Yeah, we're doing our thing, just watching some of the Olympics, or as I call it, the vaccination propaganda network. But yeah, how's it going?
There you go. All right. Very good, Rico. Always a strong opinion by you. Never a boring phone call. Always a hot take. You haven't called that much lately, though. You're waiting for the game shows, I see.
True, but our Clippers and our Nuggets, both of them got beat by the Suns, so there's nothing to talk about in the NBA, that's for sure.
Very embarrassing. Humiliating to lose to Chris Paul in the playoffs. No one should lose to Chris Paul in the playoffs.
No, well, here we go. Joke artist.
That's right. Here we go. He did in the NBA Finals. He choked. Here we go, Rico. Just should have choked earlier. Here we go, Rico. Question number one. Rico in Denver. Damian Lillard became the sixth player in men's U.S. basketball history to hit 7 3-pointers in a game. Is that too much or not enough?
Not enough.
All right. Let's find out. Is Rico right? No. Too much. He's the fourth player to do it, joining Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, and Klay Thompson. Question number two. You got to get three right to win. The Giants have three consecutive comeback wins over the Dodgers. Is that? It has been 12 years since this happened. Is that too much or not enough?
I think it's been 12 years since I won this game, but I'm going to say too much.
All right, too much. Let's find out. That is right. Okay, last happened in 2013, 8 years ago. So you're 1-1. Question number three, Katie Ledecky becoming the third women swimmer to win 6 gold medals in Olympic history. Is that too much or not enough?
I'm going to say that is, man, I'm in Chris Paul status up 2-0 in the finals. So I'm going to say it's not enough.
Not enough. Okay, let's find out. That is correct. She is the fourth women swimmer to do it, joining Jenny Thompson, Christine Otto of Germany, and our former Fox Sports Radio colleague, Amy Van Dyken, part of the Fox Sports Radio Alumni Association.
He's not up 2-0, by the way. He got the first answer wrong.
Yeah, I'm at 66.6%.
All right, well, you get one more right. That's what I meant. You got to get one more right. You got two in a row. Stop. No math. Question number four. You get this one right, you win the game, Rico, and you get a golden ticket, which means you can call back and harass me. Kyle Seager now has 720 home run seasons for the Mariners. Is that too much or not enough?
Too much.
This is for the win, Rico. Let's find out. Oh, come on, Rico. Not enough.
Oh, God. Not again.
He now has 920 home run seasons, ties him with Ken Griffey Jr., for the most in Mariners history. Way too much Mariner talk this hour. Comes down to this, Rico. Final question. Final question. Pete Alonso, the Metropolitans, becoming the fifth player to win consecutive home run derby titles. Is that too much or not enough? This is for the win. It happened in your backyard there in Denver, Rico. You should know the answer.
Yeah, I use him in home run derby. I hit 29 in 2.5 minutes the other day. Okay, I'm going to say, though, man, if I get this wrong, I'm not ever even going to show my face here again. I'm going to say that is too much.
Right. So now I'm in a tough spot because if I get you to change your answer, I don't have to talk to you ever again. but all right, what's your final answer? What's your final answer? Too much?
Same answer.
All right, let's find out. That is right. Too much is correct, and that means you get a golden ticket. Pete Alonso, only the third player to do it, joining Yoenis Cespedes.
Oh, my God, I finally won.
Ken Griffey Jr., dreams do come true. And you didn't quit when you lost the first question. You didn't give up. So congratulations, Rico in Denver. You have 30 days to use that golden ticket. Straight ahead, Cooking with Roberto, the Mexican version of Country Fried Steak, is next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Most are unable to lend an ear to the Ben Maller Show all night long, but with podcasting, you can get caught up on unique show moments that you might have missed. The Ben Maller Show podcast is available on iHeart and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a piece of cake and upsets the corporate guys. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
And that music means it's time for Cooking with Roberto.
Yeah, money.
Into the kitchen we go. A self-made man. He didn't go to some culinary school.
Hell nah.
He went into the kitchen. He rolled up his sleeves as a child and learned. And he shares with you old family recipes from the old country.
Damn right.
Cooking with Roberto. Roberto.
Today we're going to make some milanesa de res or Mexican milanesa, Mexican fried steak.
Arriba,
all right.
Arriba.
Yeah.
All right. If it's fried, it's for me. Now, I've never had fried steak. I've never had.
You never had country fried steak, dude?
I've never had.
Oh
I've always had country fried chicken.
What the heck is wrong with you, dude?
I'm missing out, I guess.
It's one of my favorites.
I know. What's wrong with this guy?
All right.
He has mental illness.
All right, well, let's find it. Maybe I'll make it this weekend.
All right, big man.
Oh, that you know, that does happen. Hosts of this show have their wives make them food. That's Brady Quinn.
Exactly,
his wife made him the chicken parm, Roberto's chicken parm recipe.
Yep. Nice.
Yep.
I bet it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
All right, big man. We have 1.5 pounds of thin cut top round beef. You can use a thicker beef like sirloin. You just got to you're going to have to pound it thin, all right? Just like you would do chicken parm.
Yeah, I like to pound it.
Boom. Pound, pound, pound.
Yeah. Cut that out. Come on, Roberto. Come on, Roberto.
That's right.
No, no. They need more sound bites of you, Eddie. They don't need sound bites of me.
That's right. We need more sound of everybody.
No, all right.
Yeah. We need some 3 organic eggs. I say organic eggs because I bought those eggs by accident one time at Costco. And ever since I combined those eggs, I'm never going back to any other egg.
Very California of
those
you to say
things
organic
are good.
Eggs.
Those things are good,
very
man. Those
California of you.
Yeah. Some buttermilk or water. You can. You don't have to use milk.
Wow.
You can use water.
Buttermilk or water.
Yeah, you can use water. Yeah. Some of these, a lot of these recipes, mine, I use buttermilk. Some like to use water.
Nah, you go with the buttermilk.
Yeah, go with the buttermilk.
Go with the buttermilk.
I use buttermilk. Breadcrumbs, flour, cornstarch, onion powder, garlic cloves pressed, black pepper, kosher salt, vegetable oil for frying. All right.
Very all simple. Sounds good to me.
Very simple recipe here. Very simple.
All right.
In a large bowl, we'll add the flour, cornstarch, breadcrumbs, onion powder, and kosher salt. Mix until combined. All right. Mix that well, baby. Mix that
mix
well.
Mix it up. Mix it
mix
good.
Mix it, mix it. Whisk it, whisk it. All right.
Whisk it, whisk it, whisk it.
In the second bowl, we'll whisk the 3 eggs lightly and add the pressed garlic and black pepper. All right.
Okay. All right. All right. I got that. Yeah.
All right. Next, we'll add the buttermilk and we'll whisk it again.
A lot of whisking here. My arm's getting tired from the whisking.
It's very easy, though. It's very easy.
Oh, okay.
No. All right. Yeah. All right. All right. It was not too hard. Next, we'll start the breading process by dipping the steaks into the egg mixture first. All right?
Eggs first.
Eggs first.
So you go wet first, and then you get dry.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Pervert.
You got to use the tools. Use the kitchen tongs. Place one steak into the crumbs and turn the coat on both sides. All right?
And I would think you would want to do this multiple times.
Yeah. Make sure you get it on both sides. All right? And then add some of the breadcrumbs afterwards or the flour afterwards. Just to be it's good. Mix it up.
It's all about the crunchy, crunchy, crunchy.
All right. Once you finish breading all the steaks, you will proceed to pan fry them using a large skillet. I use a large cast iron griddle. We're gonna heat the oil. Make sure the oil is hot before you put it in. And we're gonna fire these bad boys about 3 minutes each until golden brown on both sides. All right.
Perfect. Yeah.
And then we'll cook the steaks warm. Keep the steaks warm in the oven about 250 degrees. Add some cheese if you want. All right. And just like that, they're ready to go. Place steaks on paper towels to drain. And serve with some French fries and some of my green salsa if you want. That's it.
There you go. Boom, you'll send out the recipe.
Baby.
It sounds good. Make it this weekend. Tell Roberto you did.
Boom.